Welcome to episode 39 of Marooners Talk. We'll call this one Keflings Chat.
Yeah.
We are joined today by Andrew Hill of
Hey.
Ninja V Games.
Cool. Sorry. Hi, everybody. I'm just going to cut you off as much as possible during this podcast.
No, it's fine. Okay. That's what we do most of the time anyway. We just talk and people cut each other off all the time.
Oh. You'll fit right in.
Good.
Well, first, obviously, thank you for taking the time on a Saturday, no less, to chat with us about some really awesome games.
Oh, yeah, no problem.
I'm excited.
As well you should.
I'm just saying. I know. Well, you've read my stuff on the site. You know that I'm like, woo, Keflings. So, I'm like a kid in a candy store.
You know, everybody loves Lindsay over here at our office. When we first got, I can't remember if it was when we announced a World of Keflings or it must have been when we announced that we were doing a World of Keflings. You wrote an article that was pretty excited in tone about the game. And it was very enthusiastic. And so I brought it around and showed everybody in the office. And so now everybody knows who you are and everybody really likes you. So
they're going to be like, that's a crazy Keflings girl. I'd be like, I know. it's always nice to find something that you get excited about. And then it's nice when the creators of said thing find out and then they're excited that you're excited. And I'm like, I know, right? It's so exciting.
Sure. Well, I think, you know, that's part of the fun thing about being a game dev, especially, you know, working as an indie game dev is, you know, being able to interact with people who appreciate the, you know, what you do and get as excited about it as you do. Because, I mean, you know, we always get excited about the stuff we do, but not, you know, you're not always lucky enough to have everybody else like it. So it's very flattering to us when people like it.
So. Yeah. Well, I love it. And
well,
I'm
we
so
both
excited
do.
That there's more. Well, yeah.
Go ahead.
No, I was going to just say, I'm so excited that there's more DLC coming. It's because, like, you play it, and then you enjoy it, and then there's that lull where you want more, and you want, you know, more Keflings and more and more and more until you fill up your entire Xbox hard drive. there can never be enough, Andrew. But, no, I'm pleased as punch that, you know, we get more.
Yep, we're really excited to have it coming out. Do you want me to just go ahead and fire into what's coming up, or did you have a question or something you wanted to start off with?
Well, I mean, we had some questions, but go ahead, fire away, and it'll probably answer some of them.
Sure. Well, for anybody listening who's not familiar, I mean, World of Keflings is a city-building game on Xbox Live Arcade. Shame on you if you haven't played it. But no, I'm just kidding. You should try it out because it's super fun. It's a city-building game. You get to play as your Xbox avatar, and you go around. It's kind of resource management sort of thing. The first game was A Kingdom for Keflings, and a World of Keflings is a sequel. Is kind of bigger, more expanded, and adds a little bit more of a story. You kind of get to know the Keflings a little better. We're coming out. We're just about to release a new DLC pack, which is a candy-themed DLC that we actually ran a contest several months ago where fans kind of got to go in and we presented fans with a couple different themes. One was a kind of a graveyard monster theme. One was another one that was a pirate theme, and then there was this Candy Kingdom theme. And we let the fans decide, and so they came in and voted. Ran it for like a week or so, and at first it looked like immediately like the graveyard zombie looking one was gonna win. It was not even close. The first day or two, but then we saw this huge upswing in anti-zombie movement going on where all these people who were commenting and posting on all the sites that were covering it saying, we hate zombies, no more zombie games. I'll lose my faith in gamers everywhere if the zombie pack wins.
There's been a definite oversaturation of the market as far as zombies are concerned. So it's I'm very glad that Candy won.
Person. Yeah, you know, we are too. And it's funny, you know, it looked zombie because there were some zombies in the art. The graveyard one was a little bit, you know, kind of, we tried to make the concept a little bit more broad that was less focused on zombies, but still the Keflings in that concept were zombie Keflings and skeletons Keflings. But anyway, so it was the the candy troops really rallied and decided that they really wanted the candy one. And it was funny, you know, we were watching it every day at the office, the tally go up, and it was catching up, and then candy finally passed and then ended up winning by a pretty good margin. But I was really personally excited because that was the one that I was personally rooting for. So I was thrilled when that one actually ended up winning.
I was going to say, I'm surprised that the pirate one didn't pick up more steam, because the pirate in A World of Keflings was absolutely hilarious.
Yeah, Ratbeard.
Yeah. I was about to say that would have been a great segue for the DLC as well.
Yeah, you know, we had a basic story put together for each of the campaigns. Each idea was supposed to be its own kingdom. You know, we wanted to do something big and significant. So we were, you know, a new kingdom with a whole new tech tree and, you know, new resources. Kind of, we wanted to create a new environment that felt very different from what people experienced in the main game, so that the DLC added some value. And just kind of, you know, because with Keflings, it's a really fun game, but you spend so many hours in the same play space, in the same kingdoms, that, you know, we thought it would be... people would be more excited about getting a chance to be in a new environment and try something different. And so we tried to make each concept that we came up with for the contest to be something that was really different and unique from what we had offered in the main game. But to going back to what you'd said about the pirates, there was actually a decent sized pirate following. The pirate one, I guess the fans were just less vocal than the other two, but from voting standpoint, Candy won by a good margin, and then Pirates and the Graveyard were pretty close most of the way after Candy passed it, and they all kind of ended up with close to a third, but Candy pulled away with, you know, a couple other points.
Could have had more rat beard people.
I know.
I love him.
You know, can I tell you, we ran through a couple different concepts for the pirate one that were pretty cool and I really liked. I guess I'll just tell you what they were, since we're never going to talk about them.
I do have actually a quick segue question. Like you guys did the poll for choosing this current DLC that's coming out. Do you think that you guys are going to do the same thing for future DLC if there are plans for future DLC?
Maybe. It was a good experience. I wish we would have had a little bit more of a turnout. As it was, we had a few thousand people vote, which was okay. We would have liked more people to see it. I think the problem was trying to get some visibility. We partnered with PlayXBLA, and you guys probably know them, or maybe you know Alex, who runs PlayXBLA. She's great. The site is really fun. The site was really brand new. You know, this was kind of one of the first promotions and things that they had running on the site, and their exposure was, I mean, they were new, so they didn't have a huge user base coming to the site every day, and we tried to direct people there. So, I mean, we would have liked to see more people, and given that we had a few thousand votes, and given that people were allowed to vote every day, you know, that doesn't actually mean a few thousand people. It probably could have meant a few hundred very enthusiastic people. If we did it again, we would try and find a way to get more people involved. Because I think our original plan, we hoped to have been able to get a spot on the dashboard where people could come and see it and play. But that didn't work out. You know, everybody wants dashboard space, right? And so our way is the indie way, and so we ask for it, for them to give it to us for free. I mean, we could have bought it, right? That would have cost us, you know, honestly, to buy it probably would have cost us close to what it costs to make the DLC. The advertising space on the dashboard is not inexpensive.
Penny Arcade Report did a piece just a week or two ago where someone talked to them about what the actual costs were anonymously, and it was surprising.
I saw the article. It's true. So I don't know how you guys feel about the new dash, and maybe I'm getting off topic, but I liked the old dashboard better. Maybe it's just me. I felt like the old dashboard was more gaming focused, and I really felt like it kind of gave a sense of community. You know, when they had their, you know, Game with Dev events and other things, you know, Game with Fame or, you know, those sorts of things were, you know, more upfront. There were more videos. You were, you know, Majors Minute and stuff had more, had, you know, more visibility, that sort of stuff. And I felt like, you know, with the Kinect integration and adding all that extra stuff, they tried, the intention was to fix a problem, which was there was just not enough space on the dashboard. But the problem was that they just made tons of layers, and it made it a lot harder, actually, I think, to find things, especially gaming.
Oh, because, it absolutely did.
Yeah, but yeah. Microsoft wants it to be a, I mean, and it really has become
console.
An entertainment system rather than just a gaming system.
Yeah.
And so, you know, you're sharing space with the, you know, new movies and retail games. So really, you have to, you kind of have to dig a little bit to find the Xbox Live Arcade stuff. And I think that's a big gripe that a lot of developers, you know, feel. And it kind of, to be honest, it scares developers a little bit, including us, because it makes it riskier to be able to make a game because you're afraid that people won't discover it.
Right. Well, you'll be making a game for a platform that isn't making it easy to find your game. There's not a lot of incentive there.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. And well, I was going to say, like, the other day I was, you know, going and looking through, and I've been looking at this dashboard for, you know, however many months it's been out. Personally, I can't stand it. I don't think it's very user friendly at all. And, you know, there's no, as far as, you know, I can tell, because I'm not privy to Microsoft's, you know, judgment calls or anything, but there really is no reason why the sections are in the way that they are. They're not in, you know, I can understand if they made it to where it became more aware of what sections that you frequent. So those were the ones that get priority as far as the list goes,
mm-hmm.
but it's not an alphabetic or anything like that. And I'm looking at that thinking, well, shouldn't you go ahead and have it to where there's the main section that you're automatically loaded into that has, you know, if you want to go ahead and enter your game or your quick play. And then the second one should be games. And then when you go into there, it's just another big, you know, can of worms trying to go ahead and find something. And I really feel horrible for those that do, you know, the Xbox indie games.
Oh, yeah.
Know, for them. And then also you guys who go ahead and do the arcade games where it's not technically for the indie game section, but still, you mm-hmm. know, it's different than, I don't know, like Ubisoft releasing, you know, an arcade game, for example.
Sure. Yeah, well, you know, big publishers, their strategy is release lots of stuff and count on some of it to fail and some of it to be a big hit. And so that's the way that publishers really make their money, is they invest in lots of stuff and then, you know, some of it, you know, hopefully will be a hit, and then they recoup for the cost that they, you know, for all the losses they took on the other titles. But when you're an indie dev, it's a little trickier, you know, when you don't have the resources of an EA or a big publisher like that, you have to, you know, you kind of have to make all hits or you're really in trouble.
Well, you don't have the benefit of a Call of Duty funding your entire operation year after year.
Man, if you guys had that budget, we'd have, like, the universe of Keflings.
Yeah.
Oh, man. But, yeah, I mean, it's just, it's really unfortunate because there's a lot of titles that come out, and as I'm looking through the marketplace, it's, of course, difficult to navigate through because you either look through, you know, the bestsellers or new or alphabetically, which I did enjoy it when it broke it down by genre and everything.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I'm looking through and I'm like, I didn't even know that this game came out. And that's sad.
Yeah. Yeah, it really is. You know, we've been the victim of what I like to call stealth launch, where, you know, a game comes, you know, for some reason or another isn't a priority to the powers that be at Microsoft. And so it doesn't get really any promotional support. I say any. I mean, there's always some standard stuff, right? Like Major Nelson will always tweet about what's coming out, and that's really, we really appreciate that. Or he'll post it on his blog what's coming up. But, you know, really, a game kind of needs to have some dashboard love if it's going to be able to make any money at all. But so, you know, we've had a game or two that has been that way, and we had a game called Ancients of Ooga. You probably
yeah.
have. You may have heard of it. But
well, yeah, I've heard of it.
That game, unfortunately, was you know, didn't do very well. And it was, we released the same day as oh, what is it? I can see the icon. The another, it was a sequel IP game, big IP. I mean, it's a match 3 gem RPG.
Oh, Bejeweled?
Not Bejeweled. It uses that as a combat, but there's Puzzle Quest. That's the one. Okay. You know Puzzle Quest?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so Puzzle Quest 2 released the same day as Ancients of Ooga. And, you know, so that one got some great space, but Ancients of Ooga not so much. And even all, you know, leading up to it, there wasn't a whole lot of love, and so the game hasn't done well. But I can't blame Microsoft entirely. I mean, the game doesn't have a great conversion rate from trial to purchase. So, I mean, there's some of that on us, too. But, I mean, you know, it's sad. You know, the more and more games get released, it's a problem, and I can't entirely blame Microsoft, because, you know, if there was a perfect answer, they'd do it, right? Because it makes it's in everybody's best interest to make money. But I just think, you know, there's some issues that, you know, we all just have to live with.
Well, I think a pretty basic solution would be one of those multiple ad tiles, turn it into coming out this week. And then you click it, and you have a list of any games that are coming live on their service that week.
Yeah, I bet you'd have very few complaints from us or other developers like us.
Absolutely not.
And I think it'd be great as if you could just go ahead and use the D-pad and, you know, highlight which one you wanted to go ahead and learn more about, and it takes you to the tile where you can either download the demo or, you know, purchase it for your Microsoft points.
Sure. Well, you know, I'm hoping. To be optimistic about the dashboard update. I mean, did you guys see Major Nelson had a beta, open beta, to try out to test the new, the next iteration of the dashboard?
Yes.
Yeah, I saw somebody saying, hey, do you want to test IE on your Xbox? And I was like, why would anybody want to go ahead and, like, beta Internet Explorer? I was like, kill it with fire.
I've seen some really good conversation about that, but that's another topic entirely.
Oh, sure. Yeah, okay. No. So here's hoping that along with the update, that maybe some tweaks are involved to make the experience better for users to be able to find stuff, and, you know, for developers to be able to reach people.
I hope so. I did a survey. I can't remember how many months ago I received one, and I was just like, your ad space, your navigation, your ad space, you know, make the updates optional for people. You know what I mean? Like, I was just giving, like, detailed, I'm going to tell you, like, it is Microsoft feedback. So maybe they listened to me.
Yeah.
I don't know.
So here's my moment of plug. I also have to say, so I know it's really popular. Everybody, a lot of developers love to go out and bash Microsoft. And there are some problems, and there always will be, you know, with any big company that you work with. But on the other hand, here's my positive input on Microsoft. And I have to say, as much as, you know, we feel like, oh, they were responsible for some of our failure, I also have to say that I feel like they have had a big impact on some of the successes we've had too. A Kingdom for Keflings is a perfect example. When the original game, A Kingdom for Keflings, was about to release, I mean, a lot of people don't know this, but A Kingdom for Keflings, we had finished the game, and the game had gone into certification for Microsoft to be released. And then we were approached, and they asked us about avatars. And they said, hey, we've got this new thing coming out. Do you guys want to, you know, see if maybe this is a good fit for your game? And, you know, at first we were like, oh, we don't know. I mean, it's not really the style of the game. And so we kind of tentatively told them no, but we'll, you know, we'll take a look at it. And, we weren't too high on it, but then we went in and we mocked up a screenshot of put an avatar in the Keflings world and looked at it and thought, oh my gosh, this looks amazing. This is going to be great. We totally have to do this. And so then we went back and got back with Microsoft and, jumped on the phone with them, and they're like, yeah, you know, we've been thinking about what you said, and we kind of agree with you. We think you're right. This probably isn't the right title for that sort of thing. And we said, no, stop. you have to look at the screenshot. And we sent it to them, and they saw it, and then it was a no-brainer, and they said, oh yeah, well, let's do it. And so, they gave us a chance to release a Kingdom for Keflings that way. And, in fact, so A Kingdom for Keflings released, it had gone through certification, and it had a title update that added the avatars that came out the day that the game launched. So
nice.
If you actually didn't have that update, the avatars wouldn't be in it. I mean, you can still see in the first game, you can play as the giants.
Yeah.
you can character select to play as a giant, but nobody plays as giants. So we took them out when we made the second game. But because of the Avatar thing, they gave us tons of promotion when that came out. And that made a big impact on the game. And then when A World of Keflings came out, there was that they also included us in a promotion, which was really awesome. The Games for the Holidays, it's, you know, they're it was their winter Summer of Arcade equivalent, but not quite to the same scale.
Right.
But it was cool. I mean, not a lot of people remember. We got to work with other cool developers like Halfbrick and Southend Interactive, who made Rascals and Ilo Milo. Other people know Halfbrick probably better for, you know, Fruit Ninja and Jetpack Joyride. But so we got to work with them, and we kind of did that cool thing where if you play A World of Keflings, you know, we built it in that you would get content if you had played the other games, or rather you have to own the other games to get to unlock in-game content. So each game did it. And so for Keflings, what it is, if you, the way that it works is if you've played it and you have an achievement in one of those other games, the game will recognize that and then will unlock that you can build extra houses, you know, one with the Rascals characters and another house with Ilo and Milo that you can build in your Keflings world, and they'll come and you... They're, you know, little Kefling-sized characters that you can that walk around your world. I mean, you can't put them to work, but you can kick them, and I mean, they kind of wander. I mean, it's kind of just a fun little extra. And then in the other games, you unlock character costumes for the Keflings in those games if you own Keflings, which was, you know, a fun little thing, and that we got extra promotion from that. So the moral of the story is that Microsoft is great, and Microsoft is awful, and Microsoft is great. And it just depends on, you know, your situation and how things work out.
Well, you guys also had it to where people who purchased new Xboxes, there already was a Keflings demo.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, that was awesome. I can't tell you how amazing that is. I mean, Keflings is still, I mean, we'll always, you know, we're developers. We always look at this stuff. I mean, we'll check and see where it is on the most popular downloads. And usually a Kingdom for Keflings is around... is around number 25, give or take five spaces on any given day, which is amazing after being out for, I mean, it released in 2009, I think. I mean, that's
somewhere around there,
incredible.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe 2008, actually. Yeah, it was 2008.
Yeah, because I think 10 was the winter of 10 was World.
Right, yep.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, it was just, it's amazing that it's still doing so well. I mean, credit it to an awesome game that people like and download. I mean, and so that's another thing we can tell when a lot of people, we have the game converts, has a really great conversion rate. And to us, that means, I mean, you know, if people, number of people who tried the download who went on to actually buy the game because they liked it is very far above what an average conversion would be on most Xbox Live Arcade games.
Well, I think a lot of it has to do, and I could be wrong, is that the game is so unique. I don't see, you know, so many ripoffs of it. You know, it's like the closest thing that I've been able to find are other games that allow you to have your avatar in it, but it's not city building or anything. You know, there's an Xbox Live indie game called Avatar Legends where it's, you know, an RPG, but it's with your avatar, which... You know, that's not even remotely close to what Keflings is. So I'm not really seeing, you know, bringing your avatar, city building and stuff like that with some story and interaction and everything. So you guys are, you know, pretty much the lone island out there in the sea of arcade.
Yeah, you know, and for a long time, I was really surprised that more people didn't do games that actually use the avatar in a meaningful way in the game. For a long time, most games that had avatars, at least for the first year and a half or so, would, for the most part, you know, yeah, your avatar stands on the side, or, you know, you play around and then your avatar is there cheering for you. But it's not really an avatar game. I mean, not really controlling your character. But there's a lot more now that you see coming out. And with the new Avatar Fame Star stuff, I wonder if maybe we'll start seeing some more of those games too.
Maybe.
That seems like a really interesting program.
Yeah,
I got a chance to play Wrecketeer over the last weekend and get some of the early Fame Star stuff, and it was really interesting.
Yeah. So for anybody who doesn't know what Avatar Fame Star is, it's a new program from Microsoft. It's kind of like achievements. And the way it works is that you, as you go throughout the game, you earn fame. you know, by accomplishing challenges. You know, you'll have a list of things, and then once you hit enough fame, then you'll end up getting raising through 7 levels of I don't know, I guess fame. I can't think of a better word for it. But once you're all done, you can, like, with each level, you move on and you unlock rewards and things. So the cool thing about it is that when you hit that level, when you hit that first tier, you unlock all the rewards for all the games. It's not just the game that you're playing. You start out as a fan, and then when you get enough fame, because you've accomplished enough tasks, then you unlock a costume. And the first, you know, the first Kefling's costume that you unlock is a sheep, the sheep costume, which is kind of cute and bizarre. That's the way the Keflings are, though. And then there's other, you get the rat, you can also unlock the rat beard costume for your avatar, which is really cool. And, there's one more, it's a Kefkimo costume
you can get
for your avatar as well.
See, now this just popped into my head. Now, because, you know, Kinect, it's, you know, a pretty big deal, and, you know, a lot of people are owning Kinects and stuff like that. Do you think that in the next full game for Keflings that you'll use Kinect implementation to where the people can actually physically stand and, you know, put their side profile to the Kinect push and you show their avatar pushing the building?
Ooh, you know, that's a tricky question. When Kinect first came out, that was the first thing that came into my head. And I remember going and talking to the game designers and being like, oh, this is awesome. You know, we could make a Keflings game where you're, you know, it's real life. It's, you know, you're actually doing the building. Wouldn't that be amazing? And then, of course, the grouchy designers say, well, yeah, but how are you going to move? and I thought, oh yeah, how are we going to move? there are ways that you can get around it and make it work. Right now, it's not really in the plans to implement Kinect. In fact, we thought maybe we could update, say like a World of Keflings and add in the Kinect, but, that's not going to happen for a World of Keflings for sure. I won't write it off for the next one, but yeah. I think it's going to take some convincing to talk to the designers into it. But I think there are some interesting ways people have gotten around it. I mean, if you think about, have you guys played Kinect Disneyland Adventures?
I was just about to mention, I swear you're in my head, I was about to mention Disneyland Adventures, how you go ahead and you just essentially walk in place and you move.
Yeah, I mean, you can just hold your hand out and it points and turns you, and that, you know, that maybe that's a good solution. I mean, we'll have to see if there were another Keflings game of some kind and on the ballot, then that might be a good way to implement it. But I don't know. I guess I'm not a designer. This is me speaking off the cuff here. This is not actual
right in the know
information.
Yeah,
so
I just
that
think
kind
be
of
fun.
Answers. You know, one of the questions I was going to ask was, can we expect, like, a solar system of Keflings or a galaxy of whatever the next step would be up anytime? Because we're coming up on the next 2-year.
That's a good question. officially, we haven't announced anything, but we love Keflings, and obviously a lot of people do too. So I think it's safe to say you could expect more Keflings from us. We'll have more to say about that in, you know, sometime.
Soon.
Well, then
it better not be Valve soon.
No.
It better not be what? Valve soon?
Yeah, Valve.
We'll find out
Valve
in 5 years.
Yeah.
that's Valve soon.
So are you expecting more DLC for World of Keflings then?
You know, that's the way we built a World of Keflings. We really thought, you know, when we made a kingdom for Keflings, one of our biggest mistakes that we learned after the fact was we didn't really plan to add DLC for a kingdom for Keflings. And so it took a really long time for us to get DLC out the door for it. And really all it was those new kingdom maps that let you play in different kingdoms. But to be able to do that, we had to update the game itself because there was no user interface in the game to be able to select to play like from the main menu to choose to play a different map. So we had to update the game and build that into it. And so with the World of Keflings, we were smarter about it and, you know, looked ahead and we built that in the first time around. And so we have a lot of new content on the way. We won't announce exactly what's coming out, but I will tell you, you know, right now we've got, you know, we've already had the Alien Kingdom that came out, and then the Candy Kingdom, which actually I thought that we would have it out a lot sooner than we have. I mean, we ran the contest back at the beginning of the year in like end of January or something like that. And the DLC has actually been pretty ready to go for a while. To be honest, one of the reasons it's taken so long for it to launch was because we did an update the designers, I know I just said, oh, we looked ahead and we avoided this, but this DLC pack was actually needed a title update for us to be able to run the DLC. And so we were waiting for our update with the Avatar Fame Star content is what it was tied into. So we had to wait for that to launch, and which actually it hasn't launched yet. So if people saw this announcement and then went and loaded up Keflings and went and looked for the Avatar Fame Star stuff, it's not there. But you can expect it's probably going to be out this week. There was a bug or two that had to get fixed, and so it's but it should be. It should be ready to go and should be coming out hopefully this week. And if not, it'll be within 10 days if it doesn't come out, you know, in a few. But once that comes out, then you can bet that the Candy DLC is not far behind it.
Ooh, yes. Excellent. Well, we're all definitely looking forward to that one.
Yeah, no, it's new Keflings. I was going to ask, because we're talking about the DLC, you know, and it's been a while since the last DLC came out. I think it's been about close to a year now. And so how do you guys go about with the cycle? You know, how long of it is just, you know, brainstorming and coming up with, you know, new ideas. And then, you know, once you get the foundation, built and everything like that. So about how long is the process for basically start to finish with DLC, provided that there's no delays like right now?
Sure. You know, that I would say that you know, for us to be able to make some DLC, I would say that if we're not busy, right? So then, and we have the resources to be able to put a big enough team on it, we could do it in anywhere from 2 to 4 months. I would say, you know, average. Oh, okay. I would say 3 is pretty average. So the first one took so long to come out with because we were working on a contract project at the time that kind of ate up all of our manpower in our company. So the way that we work to survive as a company is we have to do a mix of contract work and our own independent stuff, which is why you'll see sometimes big gaps between Ninja Bee titles being released, you know, like a year or two in between. Yeah. It's not that we're not working on stuff. It's just that we're spread thin as far as manpower goes. So as an example, we got hired and did a contract retail game for EA hired us to make the Family Game Night 4. The game is based on the Family Game Night, the game show. So we made the full retail game from start to finish in like 7 or 8 months, which is incredible considering that we made it on the Xbox with Kinect integration, on the Wii, and then on PlayStation with Move integration.
Did you guys sleep?
No. I mean, pretty much we were on crunch for 7 or 8 months straight.
That's brutal.
And, you know, I felt so bad for the dev team. I mean, I don't do development. I just do marketing. So I wasn't necessarily as burdened as everybody else was with it. But I help by picking up dinner every night for everybody. So I was always, you know, I stayed a little bit later, but not that much, you know.
Well, what are you going to do all night?
Yeah, right. So it was so because we were so busy with that, we just didn't have resources to work on the Alien DLC the way we wanted to. It came from outer space.
Yeah.
So that's why that one took longer than we had hoped. And then this one got held up a little bit because of we were waiting for Avatar Fame Stars for its release to come out so that we could release the update. And supposing that there were another DLC pack of some kind on the way, you could expect that to be coming out much quicker. And you might expect it to be close to finished already anyway.
Have you ever played Game Dev Story on the iPhone?
You know, I haven't.
You should.
Well, as soon as you said that you guys take contracts, that's why I laughed. Because when you play Game Dev Story, it's pretty much that. You're building your own development studio and you start doing contract work to fund your actual game production of your own design. So it was just great to see that realistic.
Playing out.
Yeah.
You're playing a game, man. You're a living video game.
Yeah, can I tell you, I've kind of stayed away from it. Not because I don't think it's fun. I've heard great things. But it's for the same reason that I don't play Diner Dash. When I was in college, I waited tables, and that's like how I lived. And I would dream about waiting tables at night, and it was super stressful. And just so it'd be like I worked a big long shift, and then I'd go home and then work all night, and then I didn't feel rested at all. And so when I first saw Diner Dash, I thought, why would anybody play this game? because the waiting tables is miserable work. And so I guess maybe that's kind of why I've stayed away from Game Dev Story. Is like, oh, that's what I do for work. So I don't know. Maybe I'm not giving it a fair shot.
Understandable.
Yeah, no, that's understandable. I used to moderate forums in my sleep.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And so wasn't it the worst?
I know that feel.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, it was. I was like, I'm banning people and moderating and doing this, and I wake up. I was like, what was I doing? Like, come on
so,
now.
So we've got Candy coming.
Yep.
Yeah.
If we were to expect a new DLC after that, it may or may not be close to completion already. Mm-hmm. So we can assume that since it was completed so quickly, hypothetically, that development on the hypothetical sequel to World of Keflings is either complete or not yet started.
That one would be something that I probably couldn't really add too much into. I'll just say that other stuff, because again of contract work and things, is in the earlier stages. I mean, let's just say it's in the earlier stages.
Okay. I have like the sheepish little grin right now of ooh, more stuff, you know. Like, if I was like a villain, I'd just be like twirling my little mustache right now, like, yeah, more Keflings.
Yes.
Which actually brings me to another question. Right. We loved Akimi Village. We loved seeing it at E3 last year. We loved reviewing it. It was a really fun Keflings game for PSN.
It was different.
Yeah, and it brought some mechanical changes to the Keflings style of gameplay, like shared building inventories, that kind of thing. So you wouldn't have
I
to
love
go.
That.
Yeah, that was phenomenal.
Yeah,
so
thanks.
The question is, will the upcoming DLC or any potential upcoming DLC bring any new mechanical changes, like integrating some of the Akimi upgrades, or will those be held off for a hypothetical potential future entry in the series?
Yes. When we released Akimi Village, we were working on Akimi Village at the same time as A World of Keflings. And Akimi Village was a PSN exclusive, and Sony published us on that one. And then and so part of it, too, was because of the unique situation working with Sony and Microsoft, we decided that even though we were making some enhancements to both games at the same time, like there are things like Builder Keflings and In a World of Keflings and the split-screen multiplayer and things, and Akimi Village has the inventory and kind of a different camera angle system and some... some other cool features like the
darkness.
Yeah, mm-hmm. clearing space, the gloom, that sort of thing. So we were really careful to make sure that we didn't share code between the games and because of limited budget and features and things, we couldn't really add all of the improvements that both games got into each game. So, in these future iterations, we're looking to add some of those things. But in the Candy DLC, in a world of Keflings, you won't see as many of the mechanical, of those sorts of upgrades that, for example, the shared inventory thing. But we did make some new changes to the mechanics of the way the game plays. Just something. I mean, it's a small thing. In the kingdom, which I'll give you some info about the Candy DLC if you'd like.
Yes. Give it.
Oh yeah.
All
oh,
of it.
Excellent. So the kingdom is called Candy Peak, it's up on a mountaintop. You may have noticed from some of the screenshots up kind of high in the clouds, and you gather everything in the kingdom is made of candy, right? So you go around and you harvest. Chocolate from the chocolate volcano, or caramel from the caramel lake, or you get sugar from the cotton candy forest. There are these really cool looking animal crackers that run around with the frosting, the pink frosting with the white,
the
pink,
sprinkles.
And blue sprinkles on them. You know the ones I'm talking about?
The Mother's Animal Cookies. I love those. They're delicious.
Yeah, so they're like sheep. And you harvest the frosting off of those crackers. it's super cool. Anyway, so there you harvest things, and the other Keflings games, each kingdom has lots and lots of different workshops, like individual rather than workshops, I'll say individual buildings where you manufacture things. Mm-hmm. So you'll upgrade wood to wood planks, and then wood planks you'll build another building, and you put the wood planks in that building, and it makes carved wood. And then, but rather than do that, We did something a little differently, where there's one building where that's the bakery, and so any sort of material upgrading that you do in the Candy DLC, you do at the bakery. So you just bring ingredients and then you bake them into the advanced building pieces that you need, or advanced resources that you need for other stuff.
I'm so excited! I could die right now.
That's fantastic, because part of the. I don't want to say drudgery, because the whole game is always really fun, but part of that is always making sure you have the right inventory in each different building. Mm-hmm. And, like we were talking about, Akimi alleviated a lot of that, the grind of it, by having that common inventory. So I don't have to, cross the entire map to get something that I only put in one building, for example. So that's
that and you also move your buildings around so that when you're going and making one building to go ahead and cut the logs into just planks of wood, you're like, okay, well, I'm going to put this one here, and then okay, well, I know later on I'm going to need it to convert the planks into something else, so I'm going to put that here, or like the stone into brick and stuff like that. Or
and I loved that part of the planning, like leaving space because I knew I'd have to build this building or this building. That was a lot.
Right. But, the bakery.
It's pretty cool. So you'll still have a couple different workshops that you'll have to build things out in stock. So it's not quite as streamlined as you get in Akimi Village. Mm-hmm. But it's still it's a little bit more a step in that direction. And it's a subtle gameplay mechanic that's pretty fun, I think. And I think it's really appropriate for the for this particular kingdom. Do you want to know something else? I mean, how about we reveal right here on the show?
Yes.
Would you like to know the name of the Candy DLC, the Candy Kingdom DLC?
Yes.
So we've kind of been calling it the Candy Kingdom. I mean, or Candy for Keflings, I think, is what we've just kind of been referring to it as. That's kind of been our working title.
It's cute.
But we've the actual name of the DLC is going to be. Sugar, Spice, and Not So Nice.
Foreboding.
Yes, it is foreboding. Mm. In fact, in the Candy DLC, you're going to meet your first Keflling villain. So there,
is
the
that
other
what
ones...
we've seen screenshots of? The wizard-looking guy?
Yep, that's Waldorf the Wizard.
Wizard!
And he has his little hench kid, the who goes and does all his bidding. His name is Augustus. and he goes around and, anyway, he eats things
Augustus,
for
Augustus, is that influenced by
Augustus
Willy Wonka?
Bloop.
It may or may not have been inspired by a film by that name.
I'm going to go with the perhaps.
Yes, perhaps.
that was the first thing that popped into my head.
Yeah, no, it's super fun. And one of the things I love about Keplings is that the game, the World of Keplings, and even the Alien DLC have a lot of really good humor in them. And it's random humor, right? I think that's just kind of reflects the personality of the designers who write it. I've played through the candy DLC several times, and I think you're still going to see that same kind of humor and stuff, and it's still funny like the other ones, and I think people really have a good time. There are some cool new characters. There's a new builder. I mean, there's a couple new builder Keflings. I guess I'm not spoiling anything because we released screenshots for them. But there's one that kind of looks like we gave them to Microsoft and they released some of them, but I'm going to be releasing them anyway. So, ooh, you guys get a first on it. But there's one that looks kind of like an Oompa Loompa, like a big Oompa Loompa looking. I mean, it's technically not an Oompa Loompa, but looks kind of like one. there's another one that's a bear on a unicycle, and the bear thinks he's a gumdrop, by the way. It's pretty cool.
So yeah, he's one of the builder captains.
Yeah, the bigger ones that help you carry stuff.
Yeah.
Oh, how cute. Well, like the brothers.
Mm-hmm. Yep, yeah. Like Bob Doug.
Yeah. Well, see, I was going to ask because, you know, you guys always have these fantastic pop culture references, and, you know, there's always memorable characters like, you know, the aforementioned Ratbeard. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, you pretty much just, you're just like, yeah, there's going to be, you know, more this and more that. And I'm like, I'm really glad because it's something that I really loved. But another thing that I've probably mentioned it to death, it's the music. You guys always go ahead and create the soundtrack that's so entrancing yet so soothing to where I find my eyelids starting to lull because I'm beginning to find myself so at peace by doing this. And so, you know, candy, I think of, you know, something really whimsical, you know, ice cream truck, carnival-y type thing. Is that maybe the direction that you guys are going?
Perhaps like a Candyman's store, given the theme of the last few questions.
Yeah.
We do have a new soundtrack for the new one, and it does kind of have it kind of has that feel to it, I guess, a little bit. It's really cool. I don't think it disappoints. In fact, we kind of went through a couple different versions of it as we were going through. And the first time, never mind. Sorry, that was the music for another unnamed piece of DLC. got my wires crossed there for a minute. Anyway.
Exclusive. Yes. No, I'm kidding.
we have a really great guy who we've worked with for a long time who usually does the music. I mean, sometimes we do music outsourcing, and we do the music in-house. In fact, I want to say that we did the music for the Alien DLC in-house, and one of our designers who does some audio stuff did that. But we have a guy, his name is Eric Nunemaker. I never know how to pronounce his name, but he writes all our Keflings stuff, and he's really got some great diversity in the kinds of music that he can write, and so we just kind of contact him and say, hey, you know, this is what we need. We kind of give him some reference of a couple different kinds of songs or whatever kind of feel that we're going for each one, and then he puts it together, and, you know, he knows that Keflings has that acoustic, easygoing style to it, and so he stylizes those different genres with the with that Keflings style, and the Candy DLC definitely has that. Mm-hmm. That there's kind of a fun yet familiar style to it.
Okay. Well,
I'm not going to lie, more than once for both of us, actually. Not because the game isn't fun, just because it's so soothing and relaxing. It may have on multiple occasions put us to sleep on the couch yeah. with a controller in hand.
Yeah.
Yeah, you ever... yeah, I've been there too. And then you wake up 10 minutes later and your avatar's like walking, like trying to walk against the edge of the map because your thumb is pushing down on, you know, you were walking in one direction and you didn't stop.
Yes.
Yeah, it's just...
At least the good thing is, so in that peaceful. 10 minutes, because you've had your thumbstick pushed, everyone else is still working.
Yep.
Yep. Yeah, no, I love it. You just, you know, running around and, you know, going.
That gives me a great idea.
Uh-oh.
Just using a rubber band and walking away from the Xbox.
I was going to say, what, just falling asleep and then, you know.
Or that, yeah, that's a nice one, too.
Yeah, no, oh, man, I'm really super psyched about this. But one thing that I just found out, and I had no idea, you guys have an iPhone game.
We do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I had no idea. I downloaded it. Am I saying this right? Kaloki Adventures?
That's right. Yeah, Kaloki Adventure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I have it on my phone. It's fun.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. You know, Kaloki Adventure, we made that game back at the when iPhone games were brand new, all the rage, and in fact, it got featured on the App Store. But I think one of the issues with that particular game, it was never super popular on the iPhone. And I think one of the issues is that it's a game that requires a long play session, right? It's a space station tycoon game, right? And each takes like 20 minutes to play each level. And you know, there were just different things. We didn't know anything about making games for the phone beforehand. And so, really, what it is that is actually a port of one of our XBLA games. If you didn't know, we have a game called Outpost Kaloki X on XBLA, and it's that same game, but just a little bigger in scope.
Now for the people who are listening, how would you spell Kaloki?
It's Kaloki.
Oh, I got it right. All right, great. Mm-hmm.
And
made a little note of that.
Yeah, so that game was actually an original XBLA launch title. When we were one of 12 games when the game system or when this XBLA first launched, it was really experimental. There weren't a lot of people getting into it. A lot of big publishers took the wait and see approach mm-hmm. with XBLA, and we were really excited and got to jump in, and we put this game on there. So if you want a fun space station tycoon game on the Xbox, check out Outpost Kaloki X. It's older. It was like 2006 when the game came out. But we took the game and ported it to the iPhone. Or excuse me, I shouldn't say ported. I would make my boss angry if I said ported. We specialized it for the iPhone. Because we really did. Like it doesn't have, you know, like a virtual D-pad or anything. It has some really nice native touch controls, and we designed the interface for the game a little bit, and you know, like it were originally designed for the phone. In fact, sometimes I feel like it plays better on the phone just because it's intuitive, you know, to touch, you know, the way that
game. Yeah, and to spin the station around and stuff to go ahead and get to each branch, I guess you could call it, each spoke.
Yep.
Going in and rotating the spokes with the intuitiveness.
Yeah, that's right. So there, the game, we split it up into three games when we brought it over to the iPhone. So there's Kaloki Adventure, there's Kaloki Love, and Kaloki War. And each one of those has a different campaign that goes through the game was in three campaigns on the Xbox. We just split up the campaign separately so that you can play them, because we didn't want it to be so big that you had to connect to the internet to download it, like plug into your computer or use the wireless. We just want it to be able to download over your 3G or whatever.
Oh, well, I mean, that's nice, because not a lot of devs think about that. You know, there's a lot of times where I'm going and I'm downloading a game and it's like, nope.
Yeah.
I'm like, well,
that the dev hasn't thought about it. It just maybe there was nothing they could do about it.
Well, yeah, this is true. What I was going to say is that, you know, since, you know, you guys have dipped the toe in the iOS, can we expect to see potential future Ninja B titles on, you know, either like iOS or even the Vita, you know, maybe doing like an Akimi for the Vita?
Oh,
you know, we're looking at a lot of cool stuff. That's kind of an interesting spot right now. I mean, we're looking at all of the different platforms. I think we're in an interesting situation right now with the age of this generation of consoles and with the state of the different stores. looking for the best place where you, you know, where you can make a game that's going to reach the most people. So we're definitely looking at some of that stuff. We don't really have anything to any projects that are far enough along to announce. I mean, we're exploring development on some of those platforms, and we'll see if they turn into to full projects. But I think that then personally, I think that, you know, there's a lot in the mobile space in the future that that might definitely be a good future. So we're looking at some stuff there, and we've got some things that we're exploring, seeing that might be that might work well in that space.
See, on the one hand, I would love to have a Kimi Village on my Vita. Mm-hmm. On the other hand, I'd like to use my Vita for more than just a Kimi Village. I wouldn't if I had a Kimi Village on there.
It's such a time sink. I'm telling you, you play it and then the time just passes by.
Yeah, I love Akimi Village. I personally don't own a PS3, so I only get to play it every so often when I borrow one from the office. But I love that game. And so if anybody out there has played Keflings and you haven't tried Akimi Village, there's a trial version, a demo on the PSN, you should go try it because it's it has everything that Keflings does, but if that's even possible, it's even more Zen than Keflings.
For sure.
Because of the style, the Asian style, and the music and things that they're going on, it's just very, very chill, and it's a really fun game to play.
Yeah, it's very similar to Keflings, except it has some of those differences in the mechanics that really give you a different gameplay feel to it. So
yeah, also with the Tanuki and everything like that.
Yeah.
I really like that. I mean, and if you're still on the fence about getting Akimi Village, just read my very enthusiastic review. So, I mean, there's always that. But, going back to what you said, though, about, you know, the future and utilizing things, I know that if they do the Surface, the tablet, or if they go ahead and they do that and they implement it with whatever the next 360 is, I think something that would be fantastic is being able to load up your blueprints on the tablet from, you know, the future Keflings games. So you go ahead and you have all that, but you can go ahead and handle the blueprints and have that in front of you. So you're having essentially two screens at once.
Oh yeah, that would be a really great idea.
Yeah.
Well, it's pretty much what they do with inventory management in certain games on the Wii U coming up is.
Yeah.
Right.
The gamepad will act.
This is more than the Wii U.
Yeah, yes. Lindsay, you mean like with the smart glass? Is that what you're talking about?
Yes, the smart glass, yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that would be fantastic, you know, just going in and having something like that.
Yeah, no, it's really cool. We've looked at a lot of different things. I think smart glass is really progressive, especially for Microsoft, you know, being able to do things like sync with an iPad, for example, that's not their hardware. I mean, that's, you know, Microsoft and Apple are playing nice. That's a win for everybody.
Well, yeah. It's really fantastic. And I think, you know, you guys hit on it when you called the Xbox an entertainment unit system rather than a game system anymore. That's what Microsoft is trying to do, is take over the entire interconnected entertainment of a household. You know, computers, tablets, the Xbox, they just want everything together.
They just grab it. They're reaching out and they're trying to grab it all in for themselves.
Which is great. I mean, as long as it's a good interconnected system that functions smoothly and easily for those that are technically advanced and those that are technically amateurs, then it's perfect.
Right. Well, I guess the reason why it excites me so much is that developers really, it makes it to where the world is their oyster. And specifically with Keflings, it's going to make, you know, it's going to open the door to all of these different things, you know, things that we could go ahead and look forward to. And even if there isn't a Keflings, just whatever next is coming from NinjaBee.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I'm excited.
Yeah, no, it's really cool.
Yeah. So while we have no release date on the upcoming DLC, it will be soon.
Yeah, I mean, we'll definitely say, I mean, I can say it's certainly summer. And it's certainly, I mean, gee, I hate to put myself in a place where I say it's this, because officially we don't have a date, even from Microsoft. It's not like that I'm holding back on you guys. Because we have to wait for that to actually release before they'll move on that for us, like the update, the Fame Stars update. But we have a vested interest in getting it out as fast as possible once it comes out. Once people get once the Fame Stars thing comes out, hopefully this week. So then you should, you know, in a perfect world, it'd be out this week. But I mean, it's not going to happen this week.
I don't know if you can answer. Has it gone into certification, or have you had to wait until the FameStar update passes through?
I'm not sure. That's some. That's a question I may not know if I can answer. Needless to say, it either has or it certainly is about to. One of the two.
Right.
So yeah, but the DLC certification process is much faster than with a regular game.
Right. Well, the foundation is already there. It's just adding something onto it.
Yep.
So, okay. So my final question, because I know we're getting close on time. So my final question, it's a two-parter. One is, can we expect to see Ninja Bee at PAX? And then two, what little tidbits, little tantalizing morsels can you give us about what we can expect from you guys in the coming future?
Cool. All right. Unfortunately, we're not coming to PAX this year. I'm really sad about it. We went to PAX last year. We had a booth, and then we had, you know, we also were at PAX East this year. But things just didn't work out for us to be able to go to the show this year, which is really sad. We really wanted to go. I think if, you know, knowing now, you know, what we have coming down the pipe, it would have been perfect for us to go and be able to show off some of that new stuff that you know, we may or may not be happening. When we had to make our decisions early on, it just didn't look like it was the right time for us to go. So we're really sad that we won't be there this year, but, you can count on us.
We are too, because we'll be there. So we'll miss.
Yeah. Oh, sad. But we plan on going to pretty much most every future PAX and PAX East. I mean, we want to be there, even if we don't have stuff going on. Unless for some reason something weird happens, like with this particular time, we expect to be there. Because, I mean, we like meeting our fans. Even if we don't have a game coming out, I think it's fun for people to be able to come by and see us and for us to be able to interact with them and do that sort, and just to be part of the show. For your second question, new stuff coming down the pipe. So we have... So obviously we've got the Keplings DLC. There's more Keplings content on the way. In fact, with the Avatar FameStar, which will be coming out this week or next, you're actually going to be getting a new kingdom the Avatar FameStar. It's not really to the same scope that you get with the DLC kingdoms. Essentially, it's a new map of the main kingdom of A World of Keflings.
Nice.
And so what it is you get to play through the Avatar FameStar stuff with a couple new cool features, which we'll announce in a press release in the coming week. But it's essentially going to be more of like a sandbox style gameplay, so more like the original Keflings game, but just isolated in that one kingdom. So you can play with a little more streamlined type of game, with a little less of the Keflings story stuff going on. There will still be a quest giver or two in there, and a new Kefling to meet. That's the Avatar FameStar Kefling, who's going to be the one who kind of helps you out along the way with giving you quests and some of those fame quests. So that's kind of cool. And there's some new content in there. Also, it's going to have weekly quests. A full year's worth of new quests that unlock, you know, on a time basis, with an in-game reward that you get for accomplishing each of those quests.
Now, so, will those be available, like, if you miss a week jumping in? Are they going to be still available the next week?
Nope. It's one of those things where, it will be next year, which is really, really stinky. But and I don't know why we designed it this way. There are 51 unlockables. I don't know why there aren't 52, because there are 52 weeks in the year. I don't know how that works. But there's, you know, essentially a week's worth of, a year's worth of new content. So you can come back, just accomplish a little task in Keflings, and you'll unlock that new in-game content, which is something that you can build and which will exist in your kingdom, which is kind of cool.
You guys don't want me to leave my console, do you?
No, we don't. Not if you're playing Keflings, that is.
Just going to shackle me down.
You said that it wouldn't be available, you know, a week after if you missed it, but that it would be at the end of the year. So once all of the weekly quests have been done, will there be a pack that unlocks all of the quests?
No. As of now, no. I guess No, we actually don't have any plans to change that. So the way it's set up is that it's on a one is available at a time. So you can unlock. So basically, you just kind of have to play during that, you know, week number 19 of the year. You get this reward, and so if you miss it this year, then you have to wait till next year and then get to that same week to be able to unlock it.
Okay.
Yeah, kind of so like it's like an Animal Crossing.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Except in this time we can't go ahead and cheat and change the calendar time.
Right.
Yeah.
But yeah. So as far as on the immediate horizon, that's what's coming up. I'm trying to think what else. I mean, as far as everything else that we've got some really cool stuff. I mean, we even have some stuff that's kind of, we even have one project in particular, which is, very different from stuff that we've done in the past. I'm excited to see what kind of reaction we get from that, but it's still too early on to be able to really talk about that particular one. But we also have, some cool, neat things. I wish I could say they're just all so early on that it will be, you know, at least a few months before we can actually announce what's coming up.
Well, we'd love to do this again at that time if there's anything.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
I'd love to. It's funny, you know, talking about, you know, my love for cup wings and everything. Are you familiar with what the frag dolls are?
I know of the frag dolls, but okay. I'm not very familiar.
Okay, no, that's okay. They have an opening, and so I went and I applied for it, and they asked, you know, like some of our favorite games. And, you know, I've been playing video games for, you know, a quarter of a century. So to go ahead and, you know, pick like maybe one, that's, you know, impossible. So I actually went by and I selected a few games per console. And World of Halflings, that was actually one of my games.
Aww.
So, yeah.
Well, hopefully that'll be the one that puts you over the top and gets you
in. I know.
Gets you in.
So they get you like, in. Man, for like Halflings, we need her. But yeah, I was like, I gotta have my Kathleen.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, I'll have to take the Xbox too, but hey, that's okay. It's details.
Well, thank you again for joining us and giving us some of these juicy details.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Are there any plugs? Go ahead.
He has something. It's more details.
Sorry, one or two little more details about the upcoming Kefling stuff. There were one or two little things about the original game that this update is supposed to fix. I suppose I'd have to double check. So, I'll have to go in and check with on this. But we forever ago announced that World of Kefling was going to support your avatar items that you bought for your avatar, the game did, but there was an issue. You know, on our side testing it worked, but there was a technical issue between with the avatar stuff that when the game actually launched that it didn't work. As far as I'm aware, I think that's fixed. So I have to verify, but I'm pretty sure that that's fixed. So if you have your lightsaber, you should be able to have it appear in a World of Keflings now. I mean, it won't do anything different than what you see on your dashboard, and I believe it's triggered by when you go idle, like on the dashboard, it will pull out the avatar toy and do the little animation, the custom animation. But that's kind of cool. Your pet or whatever can be in your Keflings world with you. And the other one is that with the DLC, you'll also be able to unlock some new avatar emotes, which are... those cool dances that you get to do with the D-pad. In fact, I love the ones that are in the DLC. I think that those are some of the best ones that we've got. So you'll have to keep your eye out for those. And some of those emotes you were tied to games, right? So it's kind of like with the other. Like that other cross promotion stuff, if you have an achievement in another game that you unlock it, so it would recognize if you had another Ninja Bee game like Band of Bugs or Kingdom for Keflings and you got a special emote for that. There was one that we built into the original game that didn't really work, and it was actually for it was a tie into a Twisted Pixel game. We're good friends with those guys, and they, you know, if you notice in Comic Jumper, there's a little Kefling in the in Comic Jumper's like home base. There's a little Kefling statue. And likewise, there's a cool Twisted Pixel emote in there from, I think if you own, I want to say if you own Comic Jumper, I think that's how it triggers it. So you'll have to check and see. I believe that's fixed. And then there's also in the Candy DLC a really cool shout out to Miss Explosion Man somewhere along the way. I'll let you figure out what it is when you play. But
we'll find it.
Yep.
We'll find it. Oh, I forgot. Well, now you just made me remember something. So I lied. This is going to be my final question.
Yeah.
Avatar Awards unlock. Are we going to have any more of those?
In the DLC?
Yes.
No, there's not. I wish we did. I believe that that we're not allowed to in DLC.
Okay.
In Avatar. Okay. I think that's why. Because I mean, shoot, we have our own World of Kefling store, and we make those ourselves. I don't know of many developers who do. I mean, most people outsource them, but we know how to make them ourselves, and we certainly would love to give away some more. In fact, at one point, we had a little Kefling toy, a little Kefling that would, as your avatar item, that would come, and you do a little animation like Hacky Sack the Kefling, which was really cool. But it didn't get approved. So it didn't make it into the store. So I don't think that it's going to actually make it into into the store eventually. But so we know how to do it, and we would give away more. We love giving stuff away. I mean, that kind of stuff is awesome, and people really enjoy it. I don't believe that we're allowed to in our DLC. So we'll have to wait for another full game for more awards.
Well, you can just make a real Kefling doll Hacky Sack, and I'll buy one. That'd be super sweet now that I'm thinking about it.
Well, then that ties into another question. Are there any plans to make any Keflings-related merchandise, physical merchandise?
As of right now, not really. I mean, what we do have is on ninjabee.com, we have a store. The store is really ugly. We need to update the layout. But we have a bunch of shirts. And then we do have a Kefling plush. It's kind of like a beanie doll that you can get your own little Kefling in the store as well. And we sell those when we go to shows at the booth. But other than that, we made tons. And so I think we've got to go through a bit more of that before we create some new merchandise.
I know what Lindsay will help you do right after the podcast is done.
Yeah.
Like, I'm checking my bank account now. Oh, that's exciting. I would snuggle with him before I go to bed like I'm 5, but that's okay.
Yeah.
I can be 30 and still want to snuggle with a plushie. Don't judge me.
Absolutely. There's nothing wrong with it.
No. Well, I'm excited.
Were there any other plugs that you wanted to make?
I think I'm just going over my notes. Keep your eye out for the Candy DLC. It'll be coming out. You'll also see there's the contest winner has been made into a Kefling and has a pretty significant character in the DLC, which is pretty cool. Her name is Carrie, the Last Chocolatier. So you'll get to meet her as well. But other than that, just keep your eye out. Try Keflings again with the Avatar Fame Star when it releases. We'll make an announcement, so hopefully people know when they should go back and start playing, because they'll be able to, you know, get a whole bunch of new content in there. And so that should be this week or next. And then the Candy DLC will be right on its heels.
Mm-hmm. And then don't forget, you guys got to follow them on Twitter and their Facebook page.
Mm-hmm. Our Twitter account is at NinjaBeeGames, one word. NinjaBee on Facebook.
Yeah, I follow both of them because, you know.
Doug Kefling. Doug Kefling also has his own Facebook page and says things from time to time.
Well, then I need to become friends with Senor Doug.
Yes.
Yeah, that's exciting. But yeah, so definitely follow those guys if you want to get, you know, more Kefling updates, and you know, they'll definitely go ahead and let you guys know when there's going to be more content on their blog, and just follow, buy, support. They're my favorite indie studio. That's right, you heard it, my favorite. Going on the record.
Oh, thank you.
You're welcome.
Well, thank you very much for taking time on your Saturday to chat with us. We really do appreciate it. And
oh, yeah, no problem.
We're definitely looking forward to more Keflings, more Kimi, more anything that you guys are sending our way.
Yep. We'll keep you guys posted. You'll be first to know.
Wonderful.
Thank you very much.
Yeah.
Well, as always, you can find us on iTunes, on our website, on Facebook, on Twitter. You know where we are if you're listening. If you have people who should be listening that aren't, then nudge them our way. Otherwise, see you guys next week.
All right. Thanks, guys.